Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio broadcast. With me in the studio today is the executive pastor of Brookside Baptist Church, Pastor Ken Keltner, and a guest evangelist who's here at Brookside doing meetings with us this week, evangelist Mark Kittrell. Good to have both of you on the broadcast today.
Good to be here.
Glad to be here.
We have been talking about a topic now for the last five broadcasts, and that topic has been how to raise boys for God. And both of you have, I think when we put them all together, there's seven boys
seven.
Here.
Is that perfection?
Yeah. There you go.
The number of perfection.
Right.
Yours are 20 down all the way to 13, and yours are what,
15
Mark?
15 down to 11.
Okay. And we have been really, in our last broadcast, hitting an area that I think for a lot of dads is a very scary area. And that is, how do you deal with the fact that your boys are growing up in a world that is sensual, that is overtly sexual, that is absolutely a place that Satan has so many different venues to bring about immorality and impurity into the thinking of your boy? How do you help your boys to develop a mind and a heart of purity in the middle of a cesspool of iniquity? What kind of things have you men done?
Well, you certainly have to teach them the biblical concept of self-control, and that even the good things that God has created demand spirit-controlled living. And certainly, you know, sexual life would be part of that. So at that age, you know, the passions of puberty, parents have to help them control and to see the need for that. So everything from video games that are bought to television programs that are watched, even practical things like there are never in any room of our house that has a TV or computer. The door can never be shut. It always has to be open for anyone who's walking by to see whatever. And so it's not just having some deep theological knowledge of the scriptures. A lot of it is also just like Spurgeon one time said, half the Christian life is just the good horse sense that God gives you.
Mm-hmm. And practically speaking, you mentioned television. I know if my boys were here on the broadcast, they'd say, man, our mom has the TV station so blocked, we can't even get Andy Griffith. Because with cable and so forth, they do provide opportunities for you to block stations. And so there are just a few stations, you know, that my boys can even get to. And then you have all the filters that can go on. But even through all of that, it's amazing. I mean, even in sporting events, somebody has to have the remote right there. Hey, this is not good. I don't care if it's a ball game or not. This is not a good shot. Let's get it off. And they have to see that you're willing to do that, too. Or you go to a ball game with them, you know, and the dance girls get out there on the court. Is dad going to watch this? What's dad going to do? Because there's not a whole lot else going on during that time, you know, in a sporting venue.
So let me ask it this way. What would you say to a dad whose approach to this was not just to block the channels, but to take the TV out altogether? Not going to have any TV. We're not going to do any. No computer. How would you respond to a dad who approached the issue of moral purity with his son along those lines?
And I respect those that make that decision and do that. I want to help my boys live again. We're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. And that is real world. I might throw the TV out, but they go over to Bob or John's house. Guess what? Their TV's on. And what I found a lot of times are those kids sit there and the parents will call and go, man, we'd love for your son to come over, but he just wants to watch TV the whole time he's over at the house. You know, it's like, man, I got a new toy here. And that is uncontrolled at times. I want to control it on my turf, not someone else's turf, because they might not have necessarily the same standards that we might have. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, there are a lot of different standards out there in the church. It used to be most believers wouldn't watch any kind of R-rated video or movie. I mean, anymore, if you watch The Passion of Christ, that's R-rated. The rating of videos.
I mean, it really has got complicated.
Oh, it has gotten complicated.
And the whole issue coming back to purity is an issue first and foremost of the heart. I don't think the answer is removing them from an impure world, or removing all of the avenues for impurity around them. They're growing up in a world where TVs are commonplace, where computers, they're going to have one at work, you know, probably, or radios, or these are just facts of existence, technology in our world. The way to deal with any sort of technology or things that come down the line is you have to teach them that biblical self-control. And that's, you know, there may come some other gadget down the line we don't even know of yet. Is the issue just not to be a part of it, throw it away, never buy it? No. It's to have a heart that is controlled by the Spirit of God that uses it in the right way.
And that's important because either it's going to be a noose around your neck or a noose around your ankle. If it's a noose around my neck, it's going to start choking me off spiritually. When I use the analogy of the noose around the ankle, I mean, we have to deal with it. And if something comes on or we're hit with something, because, you know, we've all been there at a computer desk and boom, where did that thing come from? Well, hey, I got to get that off. And I mean, so there will be some bumps in the road just because of the world in which we live wanting to bombard us with this whole sexual propaganda. Think of the millions that are being made, you know, in the name of sex.
How do you guys keep tabs on what's going on in that era of your boy's life without being the sheriff of their life?
Just consistently talking and monitoring. You know, again, we can walk through the room at any time. They can watch TV for so many hours. They can only watch certain stations or programs. They can. That's always an open-ended thing in terms of we reserve the right as parents to know exactly what is going on. And the joy of that, I think, is when you teach your children right. For instance, I've been walking by the doorway and a bad commercial came on. And on my own, on his own, I've watched my son flip it to another station.
Exactly.
And it's like, and I don't claim the credit for that in the sense as much as I say, thank you, Lord, please reach his heart. And I might just along those lines say it's also communication, actively talking about these things. It's not just setting down the rules. It's saying, guys, why would we have these rules anyway? And you take them back to the scripture and you're always helping them to see the larger picture.
I don't know, Pastor Sam, who it was that said one of the difficult areas or difficult places to live the Christian life is at home. But I'm going to have trouble reinforcing this if I don't live it. If it's, okay, boys, you need to go upstairs. This TV show can only be viewed by mom and dad right now. That is going to start becoming a big, big problem as they get older.
Right.
They go, oh, there's mom and daddy TV shows or movies. When are we old enough to watch them? And that can really set you back very quickly. And so the discipline has to be personally, a personal separation.
And that's hard because that means you have to sacrifice. And in fact, probably, I mean, you could make the case that if your 16-year-old son shouldn't be watching it, there's probably not a whole lot of good reasons why you ought to be watching it.
That's right.
Right. And it's also self-control, quite frankly, in things that are legitimate, too. I mean, I'd have to be, because I love sports, I personally have had to make decisions about my sons don't need to see me watching basketball games all the time or football games. And so when that is fleshed out in my life, I will see them watch a program on TV and say, ah, let's shut it off and go outside. And it's like, good. That's exactly what they need to be doing. Not even letting legitimate things control and monopolize their time. You know, we just do not let them sit and play even good video games for hours at a time. Or it's all this matter of spirit-controlled living.
Let me ask maybe a question in this venue. What would you say to a parent or a listener who is in a good Bible-preaching church, good philosophy, good doctrine, but there are young people in the youth group who don't get all of it right away, and maybe they're not where a mom and dad would want their kids to be, or they're not dressing as modestly as, you know, they're still meeting the guidelines of the youth group, but they're not necessarily in a parent's mind, those kids are not really the best influence on my kids. And a parent starts to think about pulling his kid out of the youth group or pulling his family out of church. What would you say to a parent who is making the case for doing that on the grounds that this is going to help me raise my boys for God and keep them pure?
Well, I think back when I was growing up, I was running around with, back in those days, we had officers of the youth group, and I was running around with the president of the youth group. He had some major issues. My dad read right through that. And, I mean, he's the pastor of the church. He's not going to say, we're pulling out of the church. He said, your time with him is going to be restricted. There's going to be times you cannot get with him. And if you are going to get with him, it's going to be on our terms. And even then, I've had some times where, as I look back, I think, man, I had a gut read. They should not really, even at our house, be with this kid. This kid is really not heading a direction. And either they're going to pull this kid up or this kid's going to pull them down. And again, as Brother Mark was talking about, you have your kids are at different levels and different personalities. And I have some that would say, you know, I would say he can pull him up. I have others that I think, oh, I got to be real careful here because he's going to get pulled down. And so I have to be able to discern that as a dad.
Yeah, and I think part of that is teaching your children not to live their life constantly judging. You know, everyone's at a different stage of growth. And maybe they haven't had the training. Maybe they, you know, haven't been taught. Maybe they came from a church that believed differently. So that would be one aspect that you can't compare yourself to them and feel like you're more spiritual or better, whatever. But the other aspect of this, you have an opportunity to set an example. And setting an example doesn't mean that you have to live where they're at. As Pastor Ken was saying, you have an opportunity now to lift them up spiritually, to bring them up to a level where they need to be before the Lord. Again, parents have a lot to do with that, whether it's restricting time, whether it's talking with your children and saying, this is a God-ordained opportunity and for you to be used for His glory in the life of another young person.
I think what I'm hearing from both of you is you've got to get proactive with your kids. The easiest thing,
right,
and the path of least resistance for us parents is to constantly pull our kids back. We don't like this situation, so we're getting our kids out. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the public school or the Christian school or the ball team they're on, mm-hmm, or the youth group or the church, the path of least resistance is to disappear.
Yes.
And we've got to stay engaged, right, or we lose our boys at the other end. Well, this has been a great discussion, and we're out of time on the broadcast today, but thank you both for coming, and I know that it's been a help to many of our listeners. For those of you listening, you can get all 6 broadcasts on our website, thewordforlife.org. Thank you for listening, and until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.